Crossfade. The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording. With Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's the Daily Talk Show. 244 is the number. It's a Fat Friday.
Yes.
Ryan John is in the building.
Good to be here for the Daily Talk Show Christmas party.
Yeah. It was the impromptu Christmas party. We
big media company Christmas party.
Yeah, it's the last day of the working year for majority of people. How long have you been on holidays now?
2 weeks. And I did call you earlier in the week.
Yes.
And you said, us commercial radio fucks in your lazy Christmas holiday month.
Yes.
And I didn't disagree.
Yeah. It's when you're in a metro market, you actually get the survey periods.
Yeah. Whereas when you were in Shepparton, the survey break was the whole time you were there.
Exactly.
What, did you get a survey?
No surveys. It was just work, take a little bit of time off each year and work Saturdays, please.
The thing about the podcast, though, we don't really need to have these big celebrations because we're going to be on doing the podcast the 24th, the 25th, the 26th. There's no break.
Yeah.
So we can't blow our load too early.
So you're having a Christmas Day edition. What's going to happen on that?
We've got Matt Diavella, the minimalist, on the show.
I mean, since you guys mentioned him watching some of his stuff on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. He's pretty good, isn't he?
Yeah, he's great. He's pretty handy.
It's just he has the full, he's got everything I think a good YouTuber needs.
Which
good,
is?
Good production value, consistency and biceps.
Yeah.
Aren't you impressed by his biceps?
I haven't paid that much attention, but now that you mention it,
No, they're really solid.
Well, he works on them. That's the difference between most people.
Yeah. So the Daily Talk Show now has a YouTube channel, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So if they were the keys to good YouTubing, you guys, A, consistent, tick?
Not on YouTube.
No, that's the thing.
Okay, well, there's some work for 2019.
Yeah.
What was the other one? Production value?
Production value.
And how's your production value?
Production value when we do something is high.
Mm.
And your biceps.
Yeah, biceps. Let's feel yours because we're feeling my...
Why were we
What is
feeling?
That muscle called?
Is it brachialis? The forearm, like your radialis and brachialis, I think it is. Yeah. Your forearm muscles.
And not to get too smutty, but we're playing a game of guess which arm I masturbate with.
Yeah, and my comment was, because it's like a classic caricature of some guy who's got a big forearm on one arm.
Yes.
It's like, how much does that dude actually masturbate? Because that's the weird thing about the dude with the big forearm.
Mm.
But then Josh is like, oh, no, hang on. Try it out. Feel my hand. Feel my forearm. Which one is harder? And it just went down a real weird rabbit hole.
Mm.
There's some statements that I hadn't heard out of a male's mouth before.
What do you mean a male's mouth?
A male's mouth.
But a female's mouth, you've heard it.
No. I'm just referring to men because men have penises and if you're a female with a penis, you can relate. But I'm just saying, men who masturbate.
I always saw Josh as a very sweet, innocent, lovely
man.
Until it shocked me.
I'm sorry, guys.
I was shocked.
I love it that we're not even going to say what it is. But
it sounds filthy. It's
it
actually
wasn't
not
even
filthy.
No, it was just a bit weird. It was like, dude, have you actually grown up?
What do you mean grown up? What was the bit?
The conversation that happened in the bar downstairs before this podcast could have happened in a grade 5 playground and primary school.
Yeah, a bunch of guys that
have just discovered masturbation.
Well, no, nothing's changed, has it? It's nice to be able to, talk
to the
about
Daily Talk
stuff.
Show, yeah, episode 244.
Yeah. We, is that your reset?
That's me wrapping this up.
Yeah. No, I like it.
So Ryan John, for people who are new to Ryan, you're normally in WA doing your breakfast show.
You're a Melbourne at heart, Melbourneite by heart.
Yeah, born and here for most of high school until I moved off. Yeah.
You can say born and bred and then realise it's just like real fucking bogan.
Yeah, and I didn't actually know what bred meant.
Yeah, it sounds like you're some form of like litter of dogs.
Well, Ryan's not doing carbs, so he didn't want to mention bread.
Just do a lot of carbs.
Is this third time on the show?
Well, third time as a full episode guest, but I made a brief cameo. Was it early this week when we're talking about the Bonbonnery?
Fourth. I reckon you're up there with Derek. Scooter Derek is the highest return rate.
Well, that is my goal for 2019, to be the most regular regular guest on the Daily Talk most regular show.
Most dumps in a day.
Yeah.
That's what you're hoping for.
So who's been, this Scooter Derek, how Scooter many Derek. Times he been on?
Twice, two solid episodes. But he's did he crash
he did Big
one?
Brother. Yes.
So Big Brother, yeah, first one, Big Brother, and then crashed an episode, legit by accident. You just can't do that because actually technically you can. You did it the other day.
Yeah.
But Derek literally walked into our studio here and was like, oh, God. And then he came in all flustered.
Because today is the Christmas party of the Daily Talk Show, mm-hmm. and like you said, for most people it's the traditional last Friday of the year. How are you guys going to look back at the podcast for 2018 in terms of how do you think it's gone? Mm-hmm. How do you think you guys are performing? And what's your thoughts on, and you don't just have to say this because I'm here, but some podcasts specifically don't have guests because they think it's better without. Others are all guests all the time.
Sure.
What's your read on 2018 and what you've learned?
Do you want me to go first, TJ?
You can go first.
Okay. I think the thing that we've learned is that we're not one or the other. We're not a guest show. We're not just a personality show. And the way I was describing this to Peter Shepherd yesterday, we were talking about it, it's like
Pistol
a...
Pistol Pete. New nickname.
Pistol Pete is actually a guy I worked with. I called Pistol Pete.
Yeah, so there's probably about a million
Periscope
Pistol Pete.
I like Periscope
Pete.
Yeah,
Periscope Pete.
But no, it's trying to emulate what a friendship is. And so the thing is that if you just talk about tactics and how to be more creative and all that sort of thing, you know, a real friendship is about being able to talk about how you wank. And for it to be okay.
Yeah.
And wow. So I think that that's
it's
probably...
It's relatable for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so I think that that is probably part of it. What is it for you, Teach?
Well, are you saying that so the podcast that is the same every time is like going to a party and there's that guy in the corner talking about the exact same thing every time. You feel like he goes deep a lot and you're just like, today I don't feel like going deep.
Well, I like when you say a friendship because when you have a friendship, sometimes it is the two of you and sometimes there's other people and sometimes there's not and there's no hard. It's like, no, this friendship works like this and that's it.
Exactly. I tell you what, you're pretty radio though because a friendship doesn't put their hand up when they want to speak in a conversation. You just did that.
Well, I didn't want to speak over you guys.
Yeah, but he just put his hand up.
I didn't even
know. That's a new thing I've learned this year because I'm on a very chatty show at the moment.
Yeah. That's so radio.
I've never done that before this time last year in the 5 years I've been in radio.
So he just put his hand up to speak. I'm fair enough. Ryan, what would you like to say?
Was that a producer? Do you remember the conversation of the hand thing?
Not really. We just sort of had to because, like I said, a lot of chatty people. But I've never before my current show had to do it. Never thought of it.
You're on a you've got a threesome happening.
Yep.
Which is a different scenario than a twosome.
It is. Yeah.
Listen, oi, put your forearm down, Josh.
Well, I thought it would be similar because my old show was Tanya and I, which is on paper a two, but it was actually a four because we had the news reader was permanently in because we liked her. Her name was Kat.
Yeah.
So we just invited her in the studio and then our producer, Matt, was really funny and he just had a really unique laugh and it was just good to have around to you know, have a bit of
what
laughter.
What was his name?
White Trash Matt and an awful haircut.
Oh, my goodness.
And so there was four of us. So I thought, oh, it won't be that much different because I've come from a show with four and now I'm going to a show with three. So like what's the deal?
There's a hierarchy. There's a status play. You know, you've got the different roles. You've got the hosts, which are the quote talent.
Mm.
And then you've got the newsreader, which is a different class. You've got White Trash Matt, which he's the bottom of the barrel just with that name.
But you've
set it up to be. And so I would find it hard if there was three. Imagine Hamish, Andy and another dude that wasn't a young person.
Used
like
to be
Jack.
Ryan Shelton back in the day.
Really?
Yeah, it was Hamish, Andy and Ryan.
How was that?
They got rid of
They
got rid of Ryan for that reason is because they were like, oh, it's a bit cloudy and there's three guys trying to be really funny.
It's complicated. I know Ryan's one of their best mates.
Yeah.
And so
he produces their TV show.
Yeah.
And I think he is as good as he was on radio. He's a better, I don't know him personally, but I hear that he's a gun producer and I guess stick to your strengths, I guess. Mm.
I think the thing with a podcast for 2019, you have these ideas about what building up something is like and then there's the reality of it. And then there's the feeling of when it started to go, like a podcast is starting to get momentum. And I was thinking like, imagine if this really blew up and I felt the exact same way. It wouldn't feel as good as you think that it would. Not say it's bad, but it's like you're in it.
Mm.
You're tired. You're doing it every day. It's like you know, your job now, Ryan, is the highest of your career it's ever been. Mm-hmm. And I could imagine it feels like shit at some times because it's 4 a.m. It's fucking, I'm tired as fuck.
Every single day, the alarm goes off at 4 o'clock and you think, Is this what I'm doing?
So like sometimes success is a delusion in your mind about it's some sort of utopia.
Oh, I would have said many times, oh, if I just got that Metro Brekkie gig, then it would be sweet and I'd be set for life and I'd be like rocking back in my chair going, I've done it.
Yeah.
And I'll just sail off into the sunset and then you have a job and it's just the same as the old one, just...
Oh, 100%.
So what do you do then? Like what's the coping mechanism life being a bit fucked? Switch hands.
From being in radio, from doing this with you, Josh, and having a discussion with somebody who was talking to me about like it was almost like an old school discussion or a radio discussion about finding the characters. So I'm this dude This was last week, and it was like talking. You know, this person's an expert here, and they're younger, and so you're basically defining a role before you've started the show. Mm-hmm. This person's an older woman who has really ingrained beliefs about this, and don't you reckon that would be a great combo? And my thing is, unless you're actually friends, it's not going to work. It's not going to last. Because what I know for me is that I could not fucking front up and have conversation, especially in this landscape now where you're not going to get $1 million for a show anymore. Like, think about how hard you've worked and you're not at that sort of Melbourne metro or like, and it's one step away for you. So you're the closest out of my good mates that I know. And it's still, you need to be, I think, to survive, be actual friends.
Mm.
Or be willing to work through stuff and actually care for each other. So that's that's why I think we just keep going.
We've talked a lot about radio over the last year. I mean, has any of it changed? Like doing the podcast, has your perception of radio changed or has it just doubled down?
Oh, I think I've just become more certain on the thinking of it.
You say that, but you did deliver a ham today.
Well, who fucking decided on that? I'm lucky I'm mates with the guy who made me do it, because otherwise I would have left the show.
I'd set you out the challenge to give away a ham and
a bataki ham.
The difference no between spend, so no maybe spend. The difference between our podcast, Ryan, and your radio show is that you may act like you don't know that something's going on, and you're like, okay, I at least need to know what the fuck I'm in for.
What do you mean?
As in, Ryan doesn't know, but he knows that I'm going to give away a ham. But he's going to sort of, he's not going to lie, but I think he'll be like, oh, you're stitching me up. So it's not saying, oh, guys, I didn't know that. You're stitching me up. It's like, oh, this is a stitch up again.
So what you're saying.
Josh literally came up with the bataki, give away a ham.
Can we stop? No spend. Yeah. Stop mentioning brands,
no
guys.
No spend, no say on our show.
No spend, no say.
So, a ham that rhymes with schmokoki was given away.
He's like, you're going to give away a schmokoki.
It's a pocky.
And I was like, get fucked. I didn't even know. I'm like, is this another one of your promises that we're going to make on this show and not fulfill? Because I've done it plenty of times.
Well, that actually is one thing that irks me is that if you say you're going to do something, you got to do it, because 100%. You can't just be throwing out, oh, we're going to do this. And there's only so many times you can not do it before people go, oh, they just say things and whatever. So I'm glad that you fulfilled that. Just because if you said you're going to do it, you should do
it. Exactly.
I was thinking, what do you think the amount of minutes of video footage on YouTube is people talking about where they've been and saying sorry for why they haven't posted?
It was the same with blogs millions. 5 months ago. 5 years ago. Yeah. This is a really common blog post. Hey, guys. Sorry, I haven't blogged in a while, but trust me, I'll be back. And then they don't do another post for another year. And it's like, don't tell me you're going to be back. Mr. 97,
look up blogs that talk about when they've basically apologies for not writing. See how many you can find.
Yeah, and then not written after that again because they lost interest. I want to say something about when you said in commercial radio, you normally know what's going to happen.
Yes.
That didn't happen a few weeks ago when Taylor Swift was in town.
Oh, yeah.
So my team thought it'd be funny to tell me that we were doing this listener giveaway, but I had to give up my own tickets because we didn't have enough left.
Ah, stitch up.
They're like, oh, what a stitch up. What a stitch up.
Yeah.
And I just went the station live on air because about 4 or 5 times I've personally paid for tickets because the station stuffed up. And
so they triggered you and you went hard.
Well, they were like, they go, Ryan, we've stuffed something up. And I said on air, this place is the fucking worst.
Yeah.
I was like, how many times do I personally have to pay physically and mentally for the incompetence of other people that work in this building? And I went off for ages, and then people called in and were like, stuff the station, they're your tickets. And for me, if they had said in the first place, we can't give you any tickets, I'd be like, yeah, it's cool. Like, you work in a radio station, it's all about the listener. But my thing was, I need to set a precedence that when you give something, you can't ask for it back. That's Indian giving.
But it was a stitch-up.
Well, so I went on this huge rampage and then they come back and said, oh, it's actually just a bit of a stitch up. We thought you would just go, oh, okay, and then hand them over and you'd be the good guy. But instead you told every single producer personally and named them and told them how shit they were
Kylie
at their job.
Kylie from Tactics was crying.
It was actually really, really murky for a little while. And then they finally were like, oh, here's the tickets. And I was like,
no, good.
I was like, no, I don't fucking want them.
Yeah, general admission.
No, I didn't want them.
And they gave them, so I think this happened on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
The girl who won the tickets was at a school. So I actually went to her school, did a PA announcement like, please come to the office, and then gave them to her. So it was a nice thing. And then at 10 a.m. on the Friday, they were like, oh, the whole thing was actually a joke. Here's your tickets. And I was like,
nah.
I was like, I can't go now because we just did this whole thing about me not going. So it'd be dumb if I went. And they're like, oh, it's part of the story. I'm like, it's 10 a.m. on Friday. Yeah. The show's finished for the week. Yeah. If this is part of the story, you tell me what part of the show it's going on because it's already finished.
There's so many examples of it. It's like the equivalent of if you go to a cafe all the time and then they're always running late and it really pisses you off. Mm. And then they say, oh, hey, just so you know, the smashed avocado is going to take a bit, and then that's just the straw that breaks a camel's back, and you say, I fucking wait here all the time. And then for them to be like, oh, here it is.
Yeah.
It's a bit of that deal.
It's not the thing in the moment. It's the every little thing.
I'm sure that Bree stitched me up. It's a good stitch up for couples, for partners to sort of...
Well, because you know the hot button. It's like a hot button.
Yeah.
You just hit.
It's like, oh, I'm not finishing work on time today. Sorry. I'm just fucking having a huge blow up. And then all of a sudden you become the bad guy. This has actually happened to you. Do you remember when?
No.
It wasn't even a clear stitch up.
It had nothing to do with Taylor Swift.
No, it was when Amy missed her flight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Tom?
Well, you miss your flight and... you can imagine that is it's not just Amy's problem. It's my problem.
Yeah.
It's our financial problem.
End of pay cycle. You get a call from Amy.
Yeah.
You spend a bunch of cash on a flight.
Yes.
And then what? And she calls you.
She led with, I've missed my flight and I haven't been able to make it. I missed it. The bus didn't arrive. Not.
And so what was your reaction?
I can't even remember.
Give me the car, rental car company's number now.
Yeah, because she got a bus an hour away and it's a door-to-door service. So you call up and you say, my flight's at this time.
Yep.
And they say, great, we'll pick you up here. They'll give you enough time.
Yep.
She gets on that bus.
Yep.
She gets there. She pays $150 for the bus, gets to the airport.
Isn't that crazy, by the way?
It's like going from Portsea to Melbourne airport. So it's a long way away.
It's because she had a pram?
Bodhi was with her. Yeah. So I already feel like if I missed... So I'm taking on her feelings about missing a flight with a baby that's fucking a little mental kid. And so I'm feeling horrible about her situation and how it will then affect myself and our financial situation and her situation. And so I was pissed. I'm like, nah, the company who made you miss your flight just got you there late because they said what time and, okay, we'll get you this time. They're paying for it. I was just adamant about it. And then she said... Oh, I've actually been put on the next flight.
And you'd already lit up and burned down.
Literally had his full moment. But then it's still, you can't just instantly go down to can't go from a 10 to a
you
2.
You got momentum, bro.
Yeah, all of a sudden you have to go to an 8 going, you could have led with it. Type of deal.
What happened in the lead up? Because I feel similar to the Taylor Swift. It's the straw that breaks the camel's back. So what else was going on that day or with the rental car company? This was finally the moment.
I don't know. It's just marriage, mate.
just the grating of...
it's just kids going away. Like it's hard.
Was just like getting
into a counselling session?
Getting that call.
Oh, everything. I think it's just like I'm looking forward to just, okay, I've got my time, then I'm going to pick her up and I know I'm going to be there. And then just everything just gets thrown and I freak out. It's probably not the best way to react. And especially, I wasn't on air. You were, mate.
Yeah, I was. I was live to a lot of people. Josh, would you say that Tom is the kind of flexible guy that when something changes in his plans, he's cool with it? Because I'm feeling like that might not be the case.
I don't know. I think that Tommy's got two extreme. I think that... it depends, doesn't
yeah.
it? I think that you, like Tommy can be the most... caring, flexible, easy bloke going around.
Mm. But if the bus turns up late.
Yeah, but if he's rattled, if he's a bit rattled for the day.
Yeah.
But the good thing is working with each other, you can just identify it. And so just like he can with me, just being like, you got fucking issues today. Like just like you realise that it's actually...
So would you say that out loud or would you just notice, oh, Tom's having a day so I'll just go to my desk?
No. I at least need to provoke because the thing is that it's still destructive if you don't say anything. It's the same with me when I'm in a mood. If you end up having to feed on it because it doesn't stop unless you actively say, oh, you're being a bit of a piece of shit right now, the way you're talking... You just sort of keep on going. But when you go, settle down, like normally it's better settle down, which if some people said that to me, I'd fucking lose my mind. Mm. You're very good with it. You're like, sort of chill out a bit. It's like, yeah.
Are you I feel like I try to be optimistic and sometimes it's probably a bit of a detriment.
With a bad mood, you meant
so
maybe?
Something negative happens and you just like instantly, because it feels good, I think. It's almost a coping mechanism to go, this bad thing's happen. Oh, it'll be sweet if we do this. And finding that solace in some sort of positive thinking. Are you that person?
I'm the annoying... It's like the typical, stereotypical male thing is when someone comes to you with a problem, sometimes they just want to express the problem. Whereas I'll be like, oh, we'll just fix this. And don't fix it. I just want you to listen. And so it took me... far too long to learn that that's like a real thing.
Oh, 100%.
And so I will go, used to try to fix everything to a listener, but then sometimes the danger is if you do listening, then the other person goes, oh, this is the kind of guy who's going to listen to my problems, so therefore I can go and tell them all my problems and suddenly you become...
the like problem
a,
guy.
Like, yeah, and you don't want to be that guy. No. Like you don't want to be the person that someone goes, oh, finally, Tom's here. I can tell you about all the shit things happen. Because I'm like, I don't want to hear all the shit things. Like,
it's the equivalent of, Josh, you not liking fiction books and only ever reading nonfiction. It's the same feeling. I feel the same way as that. And I feel like when people come to me and I can't then solve it, it's like I'm fucking delving into a fiction book.
Well, I remember when when Brie would be having her career or whatever and she would have a problem at work, I used to think that it's like, oh, I'm going to, like, when she'd bring up a problem or vent or something, I'd be like, okay, I was always solutions focused. I'm like, okay, well, got to speak to this person or that person. Or if you're not happy, just you need to quit.
But she don't want that, does she?
Yeah, no, she doesn't want that. She just wants to just like, and also the other thing too is even though she's saying, oh, like, I'm not happy about this, this and this, she's only saying it to me as a way of getting it off her chest. She doesn't actually, because then when I'm like, have you said this thing that you're feeling to the person?
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, I'm actually just in a shit mood. So it's got nothing to do.
I will preface this with Amy. I'm not, I am a piece of shit a lot of times and there's a lot of
it's a good way to preface
negative
everything.
Traits.
That's the title for this episode.
Me, and Tommy if you have a podcast, you can go hard on me. There is one thing, because I find that's, especially in my experience with females, them wanting to sort of just talk and not, hear the
fucking... Listen to blokes talk, guys.
No,
this is good.
Another
I like
one.
This. I like this. This is good.
And I've noticed Amy, I've seen her sister do it, where they talk about, so they're referring about a situation that's happened. So they're like, oh, I was talking to my boss and he was telling me this and, you know, I was thinking blah, 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 and I said this and then she threads what she was thinking and what was actually said into the same thing. Mm. So I'm trying to work out, did you say that or was that what you're thinking?
Normally they say, Brie does the same thing. She'll say, oh, I was like, go fuck yourself. I'm like, oh my God, you said that. She's like, no, I didn't say that. But I thought, it's like, well, what did you say? It's like, well, I just nodded and kept working. I was like, well, there we go. That's the problem.
So I agreed with the guy and said it was a great idea. I'd love to work on that.
That's it. It's interesting, isn't it?
So do you have to have many chats where you go, so you actually say, did you say that?
I've got to the point where I'm not as brutal anymore. I'm just literally like, so hang on, did you say that or are you thinking that? No, I was thinking that. Okay.
Well, it doesn't even matter if they were thinking it or saying it because this is all you need to do is do this. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Okay.
It's so true.
He's had a bit of experience.
I reckon record that.
Just play it out.
Just play it out.
Soundboard.
And I wish someone had told me that 5 years ago, because that would have saved a lot of drama in my life if I had have just gone, oh, that sucks, man.
Well, because I almost... No, I reckon that I used to think listening meant having a good response to what the person was saying.
Yeah.
But I actually worked out sometimes when I would tune out, and I'd be like, uh-huh, uh-huh, yep, yep, yep. And I'm like focusing on something else, and then at the end of the conversation, like, that was so... They'll say, that was so helpful. I was like, ah. Oh,
I just happened to be here.
I'm just like... But it's not even, yeah, it's interesting. So, like, I don't know how much we actually add when it comes to advice.
Well, there's a lot you can work out yourself. And I think that's what they're doing.
But sometimes it's just venting.
Yeah.
I mean, how do we vent?
Yeah, there is a thought from, you know, primitive times in this existence, men
here
hunting.
We go. Yeah.
And there are things like gym. Like, I know... I get a lot out of just being at the gym with a bloke, with a mate of mine. And we just literally just pushing weights, doing
throwing
heavy
tin
shit.
Around.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, Josh?
Yeah.
It's iron, sinking. Mate, not tin. You might lift tin. I throw iron around because tin's light as fuck or iron.
Yeah, but it looks heavy.
Yeah.
No, but it's a form of sort of being around, and maybe that's what sort of that...
It's like sinking pints.
Yeah, but there's an external thing going on. Uh-huh. There's that actually putting a drug into your body
that makes it help. Yeah,
I mean that's altering you. So whereas like we're actually doing pushing heavy stuff and
see how our relationship evolves with now that we're going to start going to Fitness First Richmond together.
Oh, but there's so much makeup there. Who says that?
I don't know.
So you guys are going to gym together and then work together?
Yeah.
Is that not crossing some sort of boundary? Because I would have thought it's important.
We're not having sex.
Well, in terms of when you work
with
someone.
The way Tommy described it, it did sound a little bit that way. But just like we're sharing a moment. It is very intimate.
No,
in terms of, I guess, with any strong relationship, we mentioned Hamish and Andy earlier, they almost scheduled holidays away from each other just so when they got back to work, there was that freshness and they weren't stale. And I guess you guys work together a lot in a small office. It could be like, you know, cabin fever, that theory if you spend too much time together, you start to get on each other's nerves.
There's also Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, exactly.
We're banking on but maybe Stockholm.
Maybe Tom doesn't realize it, but he just said it out loud. Going to the gym is his, like, you know, escape. And if that's his escape from work and then Josh turns up, oh, fuck, man.
It's a good point. How do you, I'm entering your space, TJ. Maybe I shouldn't go to the gym. That's what I take out of it.
Nah, I think there's more benefits in.
I think Ryan's got a good point. I don't think I should go to the gym.
See, any excuse to get out of the fucking gym.
So this is the problem.
How old are you?
28.
28 years in a row. Josh thinking of great reasons not to go to the gym.
Actually, I was at YMCA for a while.
How'd that go for you?
It was good. It was actually before, it was a different time. It was...
many rebrands ago.
Yeah, many rebrands ago. At a point in my life where I thought it was acceptable to not only climb Uluru, but we called it Ayers Rock back then. I've got all this footage
of
me.
It was acceptable.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. It was a long time ago. Yeah.
Is this back in the Blackface is Cool era?
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Yeah, Sean McCullough fucking getting into it.
Yeah.
It was a big thing. But... We're talking about the
hams. It's a daily talk show.
we're talking about hams.
Resetting, yeah.
No, we're talking about the hams.
Yeah.
So the my point was, you think that I sprung this on you.
You did. It was in an episode I hadn't heard of. You never told me. You told James, I'm pretty sure. And James warned you of the idea before you did the show.
Conspiracy Jimmy.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, he's a good guy to give you pushback on anything, really.
Yeah.
And he's, nah, to radio. Certainly right. It was.
And so, but... today, you saw through the promise?
The ham giveaway. I went and gave a ham to someone who emailed us, and Rob Ward, Quadlock.
Friend of the show?
Yeah, winner. He was the first person. We actually got quite a few emails. This thing is, you push back on radio, but the giveaways they've got.
That works.
They work.
So we're about to play a grab of the giveaway.
The only thing. I was so
And this
close.
Is how he reacted.
I was literally... Yeah. It would have like the little bit beforehand. All the radio people laugh at that.
Yeah.
But the thing is we wouldn't have...
Everyone's waiting for the grab.
Yeah, we wouldn't have the money to have all the audio licensing. So if we did that, we would just need to do a bunch of...
Yeah.
As a...
Hamish and Andy did a heap of that.
Shoo. That's true.
They did some good ones.
We could throw to it and then you insert it after and then we'll come off the back as if we've just heard it laughing.
People can just go to the fucking
So what we did was...
Can we pretend that that happened though? That we've come back off and it was really funny.
Definitely. Ready?
Three, two, one. All right. Great delivery, guys.
Yeah, I'll tell you just what visually happened. I'll paint the picture where...
It's on our Instagram.
Yeah. So we actually...
That's so radio. It's on the socials. Just not quite... Can I just quickly say... Yeah. Maybe I can't say it.
Don't say it.
Okay. Radio Network recently did a new website rebrand.
Do I work for them?
Yeah, I'm not talking about it.
No, go on.
No, just a lot of ads on the website I'm thinking of.
Really?
And I was just thinking like it was AdSense. So it was like pulled in from Google. So I was like, they're not making a huge amount of money on it. And I was thinking, like I wouldn't think. So I'm like, why are you taking up so much screen real estate with these like dynamic ads?
Mm.
Anyway,
send that to who you will.
I don't know the answer.
Yeah. So we need to get the ham. We needed to drive to get the ham, but we also needed to drive to get the glitter cannon.
That was my idea. Confetti cannon.
And we opted for not the 15-centimeter glitter cannon, not the confetti cannon. We went for the big girl.
Yeah.
It's ginormous.
How would you describe it?
30 centimeters. It's just a big cylinder. They are so loud.
It actually takes a lot to make them.
No, don't.
I actually can't do it.
Yeah, don't do it. So we went, got that, and then we went and got it because we were like, this. Josh, the thing is, he puts me under the bus and says, I have to do it. But then he's got this anxiety around having to do it. He's like, mate, that's your problem. I was like, bro, you created this problem. You inseminated this problem.
For you, not me.
Yeah, but you still, this is what you've signed up for. So we ended up wanting to sweeten the deal or smooth over the awkwardness.
Well, the ham, it was great where we got the ham. We got it in a really known sort of Jewish area, in Balaclava in Melbourne, just because I was worried that there might be ham shortage.
It's Christmas time.
Christmas
time,
yeah. Full, like lots of ham.
Yeah.
They'd be mad not to be fully stocked though. Like that's on them to be ready for...
You think, maybe. Yeah. But I did hear somewhere, I don't know if this is just hype within the radio scene.
Yes.
But I think it was two girls talking, the weekend summer breakfast.
Fill-in show.
Yeah, it's just called Those Two Girls.
Those two girls.
So they're usually 5 to 6
two
every
girls
day.
Talking, who am I thinking of?
Well, it's called Those Two Girls.
Those Two Girls. Mm-hmm. So Those Two Girls, I think they were saying how you had to... they were giving away a Bataki... Oh, sorry. No spend.
Shit-talky.
Shit-talky.
Also, hang on. You were canning out commercial radio for being... Oh, it's so funny they'll give away hams. Then you're driving to get your ham and then listening to a commercial radio show.
So I was, talk about hams. I may have been listening because I wanted Tommy to win. The idea was that Tommy was going to win the ham.
And I never won the ham, so we bought the ham.
But I was texting Tommy saying, 131060, call up, you need to guess the carol. But you would, or by the time I texted, they would have had 20 prize picks trying to get
it. They actually made it a lot harder now. It's like they're trying to make people listen.
But they said, if you want to get a ham, you need to order it in November.
That's for fancy. Anyway, we got a 6-pack of donuts too for the winner and his staff members because, let's be honest, ham's not the best price. Prize.
Mm. It's not a shareable prize.
No, he's taking that home to the fam and we need to reward them. Anyway, so we're walking to his office and Josh is like, get it, fuck, quick. We spotted him walking towards us. He's on his phone and I jumped into like a little nook at the front of a building and Josh sort of scrambled back.
That's where I just don't shine. Anytime I need to hide quickly, I can't just walk normally. So it was just a very like a jolt. So he would have straight away just looked up.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, guys. I just said, guys, oh, what are you doing? And then I was like, oh, okay, it's up. So I... press record on this would if it was radio it would go it would go to the bit but I press record and got I said to TJ come out
so I've got the ham in one hand the confetti cannon in the other
and this was meant to happen upstairs at their office
and I was just go so I've got this loaded 30 centimeter cannon and I'm just trying to get it and Rob the dude's shielding himself because he sees that I got this thing so oh no and so the footage is him just looking like I've got a gun at him
and what we'd also planned was that Tommy was going to go da 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 da
You have been singing that all
da,
day.
Da, 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 da. Yeah, yeah. And he didn't. So I panicked. So I'm behind the camera going da 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 as Tommy's trying to get the but he can't get it. And so then I just go silent. So it was like halfway through.
And the thing's hard to like as Josh tried to use his wanking hand to do it, but it wouldn't work. It hasn't been wanking enough. Don't
still.
Is it legit? Don't, no,
do you
I
half?
Had to change hands to use my right hand at the top, the strong one, and I twisted it. Anyway, I shot this thing. It's so loud, it frightened me.
It smells like I'm smelling it.
And it shot some confetti, and there was a woman parking her car and had a baby in the back seat.
Oh, I didn't know
and
that.
There was a like a windscreen that sort of protects the baby from things like the sun and also confetti cannons. And it shot a massive ribbon into the baby seats.
Really?
Like didn't hit the baby, hit the shield thing.
It was a loud noise though.
And baby
is very terrorist everywhere. Very terrorist attack like.
And so I hadn't thought about the mess it's going to make. And
you did clean up though, which was a nice touch.
Oh yeah, we got a box. We'll clean it. We cleaned it up. We gave it a good crack.
We put it on Gronks. Put it on the Instagram account. What's the best giveaway you've ever done?
We just paid someone's mortgage for a whole year.
Fuck
so it's
yeah.
called Live for Free. So it's like it's like the big pay your bills, but it's like we pay your mortgage for a whole year.
Yeah.
And I actually hate giveaways, but I like using the giveaway as a thing. So earlier this year, we wanted to give away a trip to London for the royal wedding.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, let's not just give away a trip. Let's hire some royal reporters. So see how you're still giving away a trip,
oh, yeah,
but it's
yeah.
more of a
getting some content.
Yeah, but we're recruiting some people.
Make
we had
work
all these
for it.
We had all these youngsters and interns like applying, and here's our video entry. And
15 minutes of fame. Many successful presenters, Jules Lund.
Yeah.
Have
my first job with Austereo was through a competition like
that's
that.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Yeah, so I was like, let's do that. So essentially, they still inverted commas won a trip to London, but they were our royal reporters, and that was cool. And so
the thing about the thing about prizes on radio stations is like
no one cares.
Or, I mean, the people who win care,
but
then you don't know, like you never hear about it after. So they're good. That's a good way of doing it.
I had so then you got to see the winners every day in London and be like, hey, it's the winners of the Royal Reporter today. We're out the front of Buckingham Palace. So you kind of get, I've listened to this journey and I hear it. But I actually fought at the end of the year for and lost, I think, to have like a segment. It's almost like, where are they now? So it's like, remember in January when we said we'd pay this guy's bills for a year? Yeah. Hey, bro, what'd you do with the leftover money? Oh, yeah, I went traveling. Oh, cool.
Because
remember that person we gave around the world trip? They're on the line. How was it? Oh, man, we're in. And like it's sort of cashing in on, you've spent the money. You're like, go get the punchline.
Yeah,
100%.
Anyway, I lost that bet and we didn't do it. But
nice.
But what were the roving reporters like in London?
They were pretty cool. They were fun. Like we were over there as well.
Yeah.
So we were still doing a lot of our own stuff.
Do you think they were prepared for how much work they would need to do?
They didn't do much work.
Okay.
Yeah, they did like a segment a day.
Okay.
And their segment might have been we went and did something fun and they just tell the story.
Okay.
But for me it was the hiring process was way more fun than the London itself.
Oh, absolutely.
Because instead of going for a whole month, in a month you'll hear someone win a trip and that's all that happens for a month.
Yeah.
It was like today's applicants are so-and-so and so-and-so and we've got your journalistic assignment and you're going to go off and do this and come back tomorrow and if you do a good job, you'll be in the running. So we had a whole month's worth of applicants and build-ups and find-up, you know, that kind of stuff, which for me was
hey,
worth
Ryan
more than the prize.
And the team, I'm in the hospital where the princess is.
Well, we did one about would you be good under pressure and we lit these people on fire and got the fire brigade to like light them up and then spray them with hoses and they'll be like, quick, now do a 30-second report about fill in the blank.
You really did that?
Yeah.
Is there video?
Did you watch Jules Lund's showreel? Because that's the opening
that's
line.
Why, is it?
That's the opening scene in Jules Lund's showreel.
That's
him on fire. Hello, sir. Would you like your steak medium? Well done.
Is that what's
yeah. It's a good scene.
I feel like it's a very Who Dares Wins sort of
thing. We did the most Who Dares Wins. We got these people driving blindfolded, which just screams Who Dares Wins all over.
Or it was super easy in a Tesla.
Yeah. Well, we did a wedding. We gave away actually two weddings. One was just the cash and another was we built it. Like people just called in and were like, yeah, I'm a florist. I'll do the flowers. And someone else called it. So we actually accumulated a whole wedding on the show.
And for free? Were people just – or did you guys actually fund the florist?
What happened was that these people won – there was two finalists and one of the couples won this wedding.
Yeah.
And the other couple, the grandfather was about to pass away. And the whole idea was they wanted to get this wedding done quick so grandpa could make it. And so Perth just kind of like felt sorry for these guys who didn't win. Mm. And so it was sort of that, oh, we heard their story. And so, everyone – the venue said you can use our venue for free.
How did it go?
A florist said we'll do the flowers for free. A driver said we'll do it. And so, and that almost, I don't know the actual value, but I think.
Oh, it's Derek.
Let's go to Derek.
I think the runners up did a better job. I got more than the winners in the end.
Mate, this is always the case. Guy Sebastian and Shannon Knoll.
Who won that?
As I said that, I was like, hang on.
Who won?
Guy Sebastian won because the Did song he? Was and Angels Sh- Brought Me Here. Then Shannon Knoll a few years later was like
the guy.
And then Guy's like, he's come back
actually,
around.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Actually, I heard someone mentioning who came third? She had...
Emrishiano?
No.
Pellini?
No.
Constantina?
Yeah, Constantina. I was in the lift at an airport with her, but no, someone was talking about...
I've never been in an airport with a lift.
Really? Yeah, no, I was on one. Yeah, there is one.
Airport? Sydney Airport?
No, it was in Melbourne. There was... I just remember like luggage or whatever if you wanted to go from arrivals to departures or something.
Yeah, right. And how was Constantina doing?
No, she that was years ago that I saw her, but do you remember she was the nodules one? She...
Continue
she had nodules on her thing.
Her throat was fucked.
Yeah, it's a good story.
In a non-technical term. Yeah. Yeah, great story. It's a daily talk show.
What's on for Christmas? What are you doing?
I'm in Melbourne for a few days. Yeah. So
do you feel the pressure of having to catch up with everyone?
A little bit, yeah, because it's sort of like, well, if I don't see everyone now, then I don't know when I'll see him next. Obviously, the Daily Talk Show is my first stop when I'm back in Melbourne.
And then what is it, Studio 10? Where do you always go?
This is the first time I've come here not having just been on TV.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's a real shame.
Are you a social guy? Are you, like, 2019, I'm caring less about social awkwardness and just being like, all good, like... But does that mean that I go to more things without care and just enjoy it and have the moment? Or does it just mean me saying no to
more things? I've got the opposite of FOMO, which is fear of going to something and it's shit.
Yeah.
I'd rather stay home.
Yeah, the YOMO.
I don't know if a lot of creative people... I get a lot of my creativity by my alone time and stuff. Yeah. So if I don't get alone time, I get a bit antsy.
I feel the same way. Do you think it's a bit of a cop-out though? Tej, do you feel like it's a cop-out? You're the extrovert of the team.
Do I like going to... I've become more like that. Especially with the family, I like to sort of just chill.
But do you think, I know Bree sort of eye rolls, like if we've ever got anything on, there's always like a little bit of selling that she has to do.
Well, I think it's the equivalent of a negative mindset where you go dark straight away.
But is it negative?
Got something on, you know, it's like, it's automatically gone there.
Yeah.
Whereas it's not open to it and then going, okay, well, why couldn't that work? It's hard to switch out of that though. My old man's like that. He wants to get out of there. Time to go.
Would your dad be the type that would go to bed while the guests are still there? You know, there's those guys.
Yeah, I've done that a couple of times.
Right, hooroo. Not everyone.
I'm fine once I get, like, so many times I'm like, oh, I better turn up. I'll have one beer and drive home. And then a week later I'll be like, fuck, my car's still at that place.
I haven't had that though. I feel the problem with holding things at your house, which we don't do a lot because we've got a small place, but we have done a couple of times and there has been moments where I'm like, guys, I'm just going to head off to bed. It's like my house is my space, my only place in this world that is mine, and it's like, where I rest and I can fucking be myself. And when people are over, it's like, we're not the queen. No one can leave the table until the queen's finished eating.
Yeah.
Or no one can finish eating until the queen's finished eating. And so...
Unless you're sharing hot chips.
Is that true?
No.
There is some weird rules with the queen. Ryan probably knows. It's a radio thing, isn't
apparently
it?
Apparently,
here we go. We've got our correspondent. We've got our royal correspondent.
When she finishes, they clear the whole table.
Okay.
And charades is the thing that you have to keep playing charades until she's decided she's done. So if you're sitting around playing charades, like you don't say, oh, anyway, better get going. Everyone plays charades until the queen is done charading.
And she likes charades.
That's her thing. Christmas time, everyone in the family gets together and plays charades.
Oh. That is.
I was thinking, we were driving down the street just before, actually to deliver the ham to Rob, and we saw this guy.
Real high status.
We saw this guy, and Josh just goes, "There's Santa." And then we got closer, and it was a dude who was slightly podgy.
Yeah, gray, he was fat.
He was fat, long grey hair. He had, what do you call them, suspenders?
Red suspenders.
Red suspenders and over a white beard. Shirt.
So he wasn't dressed as Santa. This was just a guy in his everyday kind of get up.
In Josh December.
Said, Josh said, fuck, he'd hate this time of year, wouldn't he?
Well, or he's just asking for it. Like, you don't rock around if you are.
Oh, look what he was wearing, am I right?
Yeah, if you're wearing red suspenders, there's a bit of, I like this.
You deserve it, do you?
Yeah.
You deserve it.
Okay. Well,
it would be hard. Old, grey-haired, long, fat dudes at this time of year. We even saw one, it was a month ago. He could have been, it was almost homeless vibes, but a bit too well together.
When he was laying down.
He was laying down. And you're like, that's definitely Secret Santa, and it's a radio competition.
It's a radio competition. I thought you got to push his belly button and fucking Kyle Sanderlands will jump out and you've won $1 million or something.
I love the idea of something that you have to go do something to a stranger to win, because I love the stories of people doing it to people who weren't. So imagine, all you have to do is go up to the fat guy and say, are you the Kiss FM fat guy?
Yeah.
And you win the prize. Yeah. And you can imagine all the stories going, oh, are you the Kiss FM fat guy? And just a regular fat guy is like, no, but what are you saying? That would be great.
Is there too many rules? Like in radio now, is there a lot of rules around, like, are you conscious of
depends
things?
What company.
We're talking to Dan DeBooth about this a little bit.
Were we?
About the whole, like, you can't do that anymore. Can't do. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, the prank calls.
It depends which company. So the company I'm with now is terrified of doing anything. Yeah. So we're often like, oh, no, legal said this. And some of the smallest things, it's like, oh, legal preferred us to do it this way. And I'm like, why did we even talk to legal about doing it?
What is a good example that you can share of an idea that then has been shifted based on legal?
Oh, every idea is shifted at some stage.
Yeah.
Very rarely is it the best version that it's like everything you want to do is like, oh, here's the watered down thing that we're allowed to do.
What's an
example? Like everything we do.
We used to, I remember we nearly dropped Jules Lund off like a big crane into water.
To legit go into the water.
Yeah, but so he was going to wear like a black, it was going to be blacked out.
Not blackface, blackout.
Blacked out. Like a mask.
Yes.
He was going to take it off. He was going to be 20 metres up.
Yeah.
And so we even did like the stunt diver and stuff was like going in to check the conditions under the water of what it was like. But they couldn't get it insured.
Actually, just the Royal Reporter that I was talking about before, we weren't allowed to use the word hire or job because of all these reasons.
And can't work overseas.
Well, no, it's just like if you're offering a job, you have to give them a full-time job. And I was like, no, just give them a job for 2 weeks. Like it's a 2-week job. That's
so what did you call
for
it?
I don't know. But by the time you over it, you have to explain why you're explaining it a certain way. Yeah. Then you're like, fuck, like I've lost interest. Like it's, and when you're doing a thing about hiring someone and you can't use the word job or hiring. Yeah.
It's the Royal Sole Trader coming in. Yeah. How's your ABN number?
Because my whole thing was everyone gives away something to win. Let's hire someone. That's the point of difference. Yeah. Like great point of difference. Mm. We're going to do it. However, can't use the word hire. Absolutely. Can't promise a job. We have to say you're winning a prize. I'm like, well, the whole point was to do something different to winning a prize. I'm like, yeah, cool. That's what we're going to do. However, we just need a word like this. Win a prize. And we're like, okay, right. So it doesn't really makes sense, but if the legal team says that's what's best, then that's what we do.
When are you back on air? When does that happen?
Radio gets a pretty good break, so we finished 2 weeks ago and we're back in late March. No, I think it's mid-January.
Late March? That's a joke.
Probably. It's probably mid-January, I think. I think we had 6 weeks off.
Are you Life of Ryan? What's the latest podcast stuff that you're doing?
It's going to change the business in the new year. Yeah, so it's going to be a new one next year.
Okay, what is it? Give us a...
I don't know exactly what it's called yet, but essentially it's just going to be more regular and more like radio, because it's going to be where all my pitched ideas for the show that didn't get up go onto the podcast.
A little bit more sort of raunchy.
But just actually existing, really. And
no legal required.
No legal. And the podcast I just did was good, Life of Ryan, but it was very hands-on and I had like co-hosts and guys helping me with the audio, and moving I found parts. That I was spending more time managing the working parts than actually doing the podcast, which you guys probably have had jobs like that where you're like, oh, I want to just do the job, not all the organizing. So it'll probably just be a bit more of me with some sprinkles of other people rather than trying to find everyone who can get to the studio at one time. Yeah. So Life of Ryan will probably just finish and then or like the season. And
you're
going
to use the same RSS feed and stuff?
I think so, because I went for a while of doing a new podcast every year, but then you start at zero every year. I got zero subscribers, zero listens, so I think it's easier to just roll on. And as long as it's not too different, because you can't go, oh, I'm into travel, so everyone subscribe to my travel thing, and then you're like, oh no, this year I'm teaching you parenting tricks, because you can't assume it's the same audience.
Yeah.
So it has to be similar enough to use the same feed, but it will be just more of the how it's made will be a lot different. Mm. Mm. But yeah, but I've only really finished working today. So radio finished a few weeks ago.
So you've got wrapping up that.
Well, I had a few
now.
Video jobs that I've just finished up. Today was the last.
Because you did a bunch of horse stuff.
Yes, yeah, so I was the reporter at large for the Spring Racing Carnival.
Yeah.
Which was a
couldn't
real fun job.
Couldn't say he had a job.
I wasn't hired.
Yeah.
No, I actually was hired and did have a job.
What were the deliverables? What did you have to deliver?
Videos.
Yeah.
And I just said, oh, I don't really want to make ads. Here's what I've done before and I can make stuff like this but filmed at the track. And they just went, yeah, do whatever you want.
Were there like 5 30-second clips for social or what?
It was, yeah, all the videos for Facebook and then smaller snippets for Insta because obviously Insta's only 60 seconds. And yeah, it was 5 or 6 videos over 5 or 6. So I was 1 a week for the Spring Carnival. But then I filmed, they were like, oh, I just come every Saturday. And I was like, no, I'll come for the first 2 Saturdays and film.
Oh, great.
You're a day.
Yeah.
And then I'm done.
Oh, awesome.
That's and then just release them week by week sort of thing.
I'm missing your content not being on social media.
Oh, yeah, he's off.
Because I'm off. So
what do you think?
I've retired from social media. I've just decided.
He doesn't quite know.
I sort of feel like I can't talk about it until I've done it for a year. But the idea is I feel like I need to focus on deep work and producing big bits of content.
I agree. However, here's the thing. Sometimes there's new trends and changes and if you don't know about them and then you're off selling stuff, they're like the last thing you want to happen to you is that a client goes, Josh, we've got 50 grand. We want you to make this thing similar to that new thing that everyone's doing. And you're like, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's when I turned to Tommy.
You'd probably tell him to get fucked anyway.
Well,
if you're working with someone that's just saying, do what everyone else is, do what they're doing.
Like there's a new style of filming.
There's a new style. Yeah. I think hopefully I can keep up to date just with my just being online. But have you got much of a website presence? Can I just go to ryanjohn.com
or
some
shit? There's not much on there. Because
can you fix that?
It's like a feed. It's a Tumblr, isn't
so
it?
So I can just
it's
go
it's
to
an
that?
Old Tumblr, but old there's Tumblr. No porn on it, so it still exists. No porn, but what I found was instead of
that
being...
That was full of porn a while ago.
I know. When you're on Facebook, I was like, I want to keep people entertained on Facebook. I don't want to use Facebook as a way to get someone to something else.
Yeah.
So
it's not a pushing mechanism, you know?
Yeah, and so... I was like, if it's Facebook, I just want to entertain people on Facebook. If it's Instagram, I want to put photos on Instagram. I don't want to use all the platforms to just send people to other platforms.
Yeah, sure.
So that's why the website hasn't kind of left it behind.
I think Ryan's a great example that sort of challenges your thinking around this social media stuff. I feel like you're spread across majority of them.
I read a book the other day. It was Roxy Dejanko's new book, by the way.
Oh, yeah? I saw she was on your show.
She was on our show. She's great.
What's it called?
Sweaty Betty PR. Is that her business?
That's her. She's got many businesses. She's doing pretty well for herself. But her whole thing was if you try to be on every platform, you'll kill yourself and you'll start watering down your stuff. Find the one or two that you're really good at and just make them great, because if you try to be on everything – if you don't have a Gary Vee team of 26 people helping you cut stuff, you kind of got to focus on a couple. And for me, that's going to be which a couple of my couple, you know.
What do you think it's going to be?
Well, I'm looking right now, 220,000 likes on your
Facebook page. So Facebook kind of has to be one just because of the number.
But does it?
It would seem irresponsible, because the thing is I've got nothing to lose. I've got 1,700 followers on Instagram. It's not going to hurt me. I've nearly by the we're nearly at 15,000 downloads this month for our podcast. Yep. If you think about how many people we're reaching, it's like my Instagram audience is like 10% of what we reach on the podcast already, and people are actually consuming it. Do you think that you need to go for that big audience because you've got it there?
I don't feel like I need to, but it's more like I spent so much time building it up. It almost feels like a waste to let it go. And they are genuinely like interested in my story and stuff like that. But I got to be careful not to like spam it.
Yeah.
But
does spamming at work? Have you tried posting a shit ton? Does it have diminishing returns?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Facebook. I think this last year you just post anything and off it goes, but now it's like when the algorithm changes and stuff, you really got to make sure of it. Whereas Instagram, I'd say, is more consistent. Nothing will take off and go viral, but then nothing will sort of die. It'll just
be sort of consistent.
Yeah. And then so YouTube, this is probably the one I'm going to just not worry about, because I feel like it's its own beast and you either got to commit and you be a YouTuber for 5 years and really be in the YouTube community, or I think you feel like you can't just chuck something up there every couple of weeks and not.
Could you though? Like, is I wonder if the difference between this isn't necessarily my thinking, but is the rationale that's like, oh well, if it's easy just to chuck something up every 2 weeks, maybe you're better off just chucking it up than not posting at all.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like you got to make it for the platform. So if I make a quick fun video for Instagram that's 20, 30 seconds,
that it won't translate. That,
on YouTube, it just feels a bit weird. And vice versa. You put a 15 minute sort of story on Facebook, I can't imagine too many people watching the whole thing. So that's where it's for me, it's like, yeah, Ryan, stop trying to do everything for everyone and just pick your little.
So Facebook, that's Facebook one. Facebook
and probably Instagram, I reckon. Twitter's just long gone for me. I rarely use that. And then podcast, but even the podcast, I see that as almost a practice and a learning for the radio job. Without, like, no one could listen to that, and I'm like, as long as it's just exercising my radio skills and ideas, you know, the creativity whole. Who's the James Altucher? Like, create lots of ideas and get better at it. So for me, that'll be
You're doing that. You're doing a podcast every single day, every weekday, essentially,
which is the radio show.
I think there's a bit more room to do some stuff there.
Do you think the radio stations, do you get a sense that there's any pushback on stop spending your time on doing a podcast? You've got a fucking show? Never.
Well, but that's because I'm in a position where they've never said you're not putting in enough time and effort to the radio. Yeah. I'm sure, and I've been there for the opposite, where people are like, you've got a radio show and a job and a salary, start putting in. Like, I've been there, not for me, but like I've seen other people who I've worked with have to have that chat, but
you've got all this energy.
There's no one at my work that works harder than, or spends more time doing work than I do. So they'd be very rich to have that chat with me, I would have thought.
Yeah.
And it's more the other way around. I'm like, I'm making this stuff. If you want it, you can have it, but you probably won't. So I'll just put it over here. So they can have any of the content they want.
How do you sort of draw a line between this is good for radio, this is good for the podcast? We sort of pitch it up in the radio producers meeting, and then if they don't take it, you'll sort of write it down.
I think so. Well, yeah, but I think I just got to start making it, because I know it's like the more ideas you have, if you don't use them, you just stop having the ideas because you're like, oh, what's the point?
Yeah.
Hence why I'm going to sort of use the podcast as that. Like, I'm going to make it either way. Mm-hmm. If you guys want it, you can have it. If not, no problem either.
What stops you from putting out something? Like, for instance, I think – for me, I've grappled with the thought that I don't have a niche, or I'm not specific about this. I don't know what I'm talking to. And so that can create a bit of a confusion. So sometimes it's literally just going, you're thinking stupid. Your thinking is stupid because you've had some success before. Yep. So just put it out. What is it for you?
Well, actually, a really great example of just what we're talking about is my friend Dave, who ran 300 kilometres in 5 days.
Beast.
You came over to his house, Tommy. Yeah. We filmed this really nice little 3-minute video. The video does all right online. They were sitting on about $1,500 for 2 months, money raised. And in 24 hours, they raised another 20 grand.
Mm.
So that video was like a really good investment. I did a podcast episode about it. And so the combination of those two things made about 20 grand for charity. I pitched to the radio show and they just didn't get around to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so at first I was real pissed because I was like, I can't believe the show didn't run this thing.
Mm.
And then Bridget, my partner, was like, you raised more money than you hoped. The video went wild online. Channel 7 ran it nationally. You haven't lost. Like they have.
All you wanted her to do is listen.
Yeah, exactly. And so she's
told
like,
you what to do.
Yeah, so she's like, you don't have to, she's like, don't feel annoyed that they didn't run it. They should be annoyed that they didn't get it.
Yeah.
And so I guess the filter for that one was like, it was just a great story and I wanted to tell it. And I thought it was the best way to raise the most money possible.
I was just going to say ideas, like people knocking back, taking some. It doesn't make sense.
All they had to do was say yes, and they could have claimed they raised 30 grand for a cause and give it 3 minutes.
Well, and this is your pushback, Josh, on people who are selling ideas.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the I wrote a blog post at joshjansen.com just about ideas are cheap. Ideas are nothing without execution. So we shouldn't put any emphasis on ideas.
We should put it on doing it.
Yeah, I think that the idea is – I can't remember. What did I actually say? What was my thought around it?
Bring it up. Right? Bring it up. I 100% agree. I could sit here at the end of the year and be like – oh, I was going to do this charity thing, but the station said no, so I didn't and be bitter. Or I could call Tommy and go, mate, station's not interested, so we're going to do it ourselves, and we had a great win.
I'll read Josh's.
Do you want me to read it out in my voice, like an audio book?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, okay. Like
here we go. Yeah. I'll do this like a Seth Godin-esque.
All ideas. Just read it as Josh.
All ideas are bad.
This
That's
is a
great
Josh,
headline.
This is a Josh Jansen-esque.
All ideas are bad. This is by Josh Jansen from the December 3rd, 2018. The person who says there's no such thing as a bad idea has obviously never put a knife in a plugged-in toaster to flick out a jammed Pop-Tart. There are bad ideas. In fact, I reckon every idea starts that way. An idea is like a check yet to be signed. The value with all of its zeros, all of its potential riches, but a signature short. The signature is the commitment, a willingness to take action, a crack at making the idea happen. Be skeptical of ideas, people. Ideas are hunches and assumptions. Ideas don't make you rich and they don't make you clever. Ideas are blank, worthless checks until they're signed.
I like it. I like it. And this is exactly why my 2019 podcast will exist, because I don't want to be the guy who finishes up at the end of the year and be like, oh, but look at these great ideas in my notebook. Yeah. I want to be like, here's the episodes.
Yeah.
Go listen. And if someone doesn't want them, then someone else will.
Yeah.
And that's how a lot of even client work is. A lot of stuff that I've pitched to the station, they've gone, oh, we can't be bothered. So I pitched to someone else and they pay for it. And I'm like, oh, this is great.
Well, ideas, I feel like it's the equivalent of the same people who say, I'm a writer, I'm a filmmaker, I'm a this, I'm a that. The person who's obsessed with the term, the noun or whatever the fuck you want to call it. Is it a noun? Is it a...
You're the blogger, mate.
Mr. 97's nodding. You should be focusing on the actual... Austin Kleon talks about it. You should actually be focusing on doing the work. Yeah. So rather than... being obsessed with, I'm a writer, that's what I do, or I'm an entrepreneur. It's actually like, okay, if you're a writer, how much are you actually writing? Yeah. And I can catch myself for being like, I'm a reader, I read.
Yeah.
And it's like, I need to make sure, and I buy books. I've got a lot of, have you seen how many Amazon?
You've been buying a lot. You need to slow the fuck down.
I'm just trying to
slow with the buying, I think increase with the reading.
Mate, well, it should be a minimalist approach with books. You will only buy another one if you've read it.
Well, that's definitely how I feel about it. I think that my thought about it.
He's just put his hand up again. You've got 5 minutes in the corner, mate.
What I was just going to say was there's so many books. Like I wanted to basically be able to be like, this is my year of thinking. This is what I want to be focusing on. Mm. The buying of the book is the focus on this thing is important. I want to learn about this thing. Mm. And then now it's like we're talking about the lead versus lag goals and shit like that. Yeah, and I want to be at a point where it's like, okay, I need to be reading 20 pages a day rather than saying, I want to fucking read 50 books a year. And so by focusing on that metric,
20 pages a day, it doesn't matter what book it is, you're reading a lot more.
On the ideas thing, ideas aren't, like being an ideas person is worthless unless you do them.
Mm-hmm.
Does that then put more emphasis on the people who are around you? For instance, if you're a two-man business, one of you is the ideas man and the other one is a great executor, does that therefore be a good combination?
Yeah, I think we're definitely interchangeable. Yeah.
Not for you
stuff.
Specifically.
Yeah, well, I think the thing is, it's that whole like 1 + 1 should equal 3, not 2.
Which is more than 2.
Exactly. Yeah. Also, and I think that within a partnership, that's why you're doing it. So partnership is you're not necessarily whole on you. Like you might be able to do a bunch of things on your own, but together you're more powerful.
Yeah, because I think when you... ideas people, there's a lot of great creative ideas people who are really terribly organized and sloppy on getting stuff done. But then there's a lot of people who want to be in the same business, and radio is one of them. There's really organized and really driven, but they just don't have that unique thinking brain. Whereas if you team them up with, find those right two people and put them together, then that could be a real winning combo. And I think most of the good combos, when you sort of think about that, those, you know, what are you, not values, but skills they have off air, then maybe some ideas are good and your blog is wrong.
Well, all ideas are bad. I don't see that as you saying that for anyone who tries to pride themselves on ideas. I think you're taking it.
It's great headlines.
You're going another layer. Ryan's new podcast is essentially what have been deemed bad ideas because they didn't get up on the radio show that you've got. But it doesn't mean that you then can't take those.
But Ryan's podcast isn't good yet until he's done it.
Exactly. But the premise of the podcast is doing bad ideas essentially because you're doing ideas that didn't make it. Well, I think why didn't they make it then? Ideas are subjective, right?
Because I don't think it's a quality, it's just getting around to actually doing it.
Yeah. I think that I stand by that thing around ideas because I think that it is it's a means to an idea is a means to a thing.
Yeah, and without the thing it's
without
worthless.
The thing it's fucking worthless. Say it's hard to sort of explain, I guess, but I think like if you're planning a trip or whatever, I'm going to contradict myself maybe. It's a bit of a paradox, right? Because in some regards, the reason you plan a trip is to go on the trip and to do the trip. And so until you actually do the trip, it hasn't come to fruition.
Yep.
In saying that, there's also a lot of joy in planning the trip.
Yep.
So there is a bunch of fun in the ideation.
Mm.
However, if you love traveling and you only are ever in the planning stage, do you love traveling or do you just love the idea of traveling?
Should you be working at Flight Center?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I think that that's probably the identifying bit is it's like do you like making the idea or whatever? Or do you, because there are some jobs where the outcome, the thing that you need to do is the idea. If you are a screenwriter, essentially the idea is, I mean, you could look at it a bunch of ways. The screenplay is that could be the idea.
The finished piece.
Yeah.
That could, but that's also that is also in some regards a finished piece, but also the film's a finished piece.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking when you were saying that about being a monologue writer for like The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
Whereas we could sit around here and write a joke and you go, what a waste of time. But if that joke is then read out by Jimmy Fallon and you got paid $2,000 for one joke, even though you did exactly the same thing, it's a very different
outcome.
Is
that why people get paid?
There's some people, they're called faxes because back in the day you'd fax them in.
Oh,
but
wow.
They've got a writing team, but then there's got a bunch of faxes and they'll just send out, hey, this week we're talking about Trump, Halloween and whatever, and you just write zingers and fax them in, and if they use it you just get paid per joke.
There's a couple of Aussie dudes.
Yeah. Simon Taylor.
He
wrote for Leno.
Yeah. So we'll have him on the podcast next few months.
I've met him when we were both working community radio like 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
He was like a magician at that stage. He's doing tricks and
stuff. Yeah, he still does magician stuff.
Yeah,
and
I reckon he's great. I've loved watching his stuff.
Yeah. We just missed him from when we were in LA.
Oh, he was
the week after. He's like, I'm here.
He did a disappearing trick in fucking
motherfucker.
Exactly.
What's an idea that was deemed bad that you've had by other people? Or even one that you've done that other people...
On the street videos were not okayed by multiple radio stations, and then I do a few anyway. I'm like, well, I'll just do it on my own page, and then suddenly,
Merry Christmas! Sorry, just got some people from Conspiracy Jimmy's office, business walking past.
Who's
we had to say
who's
Merry
locking
Christmas.
The door? Who would have a fair bit
the
of
boss.
Security?
Okay. Still in there? Anyway. Yeah. So in Canberra, they're like, you can't go out in the streets and interview drunk people late at night
by law.
No, the station was like, it's just they've been drinking. It's not a good idea. Yeah. And the story was about they were bringing in lockout laws. And I was like, well, there's no point interviewing grannies at 10 a.m. In the morning about the people it affects, the people who are out at 2 in the morning. So there's the people whose opinions I want.
Yeah.
So they were like, you can't interview people when they're drunk. Then I did it. It took off online and I was like, I'm going to go again. And they're like, oh, but if you do it again, it has to be on the station page and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you said no to it last time, like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And the same's happened at HIT. They've said no to things and other people have taken it. The thing with Dave, like I said, the station just didn't get around to it and it raised $25,000 for a charity and they just couldn't be bothered. Like most stuff on my Facebook page is stuff that people haven't, and my Facebook page does a lot better than the station stuff does.
I think there's some real reward in not taking people's, thoughts on your ideas negatively.
But sometimes
it's not really a bad idea.
Sometimes it's a bad idea, and other times it's like, oh, we don't want to send the video out to help, or we don't have time to edit it, or
some people just don't get it as well. Like the thing is that if you are a professional who knows their shit,
Yeah.
Sometimes, like I wrote a blog post about this, like you can be the exception. Like I think that what we do is...
What he's trying to say is he wants to read it out.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm going to read it out. But the Mr. 97 really laughed
All ideas
that.
Are bad.
All by Josh Jansen, yep. Read by me, Josh Jansen.
Yep.
This is Audible, Random House Audio presents How to Win Friends and Influence People. Okay, I've done that bit.
Yeah,
I couldn't say Dale Carnegie. Being the exception,
yep.
I think that there, if you are doing something different, if you go and ask producers or people, like different people within any sort of context, hey, should I do this thing?
Mm.
What are they going to do? They're just going to look back and see if it's worked previously.
Yeah,
they're going to see, is there any risks with this? It's sort of, you can't really go anywhere with it.
We pitched an idea weekly and got told no weekly. And then someone else did it and it took off. And then the station was like, oh, you can do it now. Yeah. And we're like, well, it's been done. We don't want to do it anymore.
And so that's
We copied and it didn't work.
And I think that that's the benefit of being an individual is that just like I can take this risk. And with the risk comes a reward. So being like, I actually think this is going to work. I'm going to do it.
Can I get deep with you here?
Yeah.
This one guy who was fucked on acid one night. I was an accountant and I was thinking of quitting my accountant job to move to Thailand to do radio full time.
So you weren't the guy on acid?
I wasn't the guy on acid.
Okay.
That was super interesting.
And I said, like, this is the riskiest thing ever. Like, I've got this high-paying finance job. I'm kind of set for life. All I need to do is just keep this job and I'm set. And he said, sometimes not taking a risk is the biggest risk of all. And I was like, fuck, you're right. And when you're saying that,
the fire fucking, what do you call it?
Limbo stick. How many radio stations are going to play it safe for the next 10 years and not be existing in 20 because they didn't take a risk? What is the big risk is them playing it safe and not existing in a decade or two.
Well, I guess the other thing too is how little digital was on the radar. Are you calling? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I just touched my phone when I was getting fired up about the risk thing, I think I called someone.
No, but I did hear.
No, it was his phone.
It was your phone.
Yeah.
Who were you calling? Was it like,
Brody
hey, Siri,
Green,
call?
The head of Nova Imaging.
Okay, that's a.
Get his thoughts on it.
but I think there's definitely, if I think about radio in 2012 and how digital was seen then, and I'm just like, just seeing that experience.
Mm.
I'm just like, what is it called when the guy always lies and you don't trust him anymore?
Pinocchio.
No, it wasn't Pinocchio.
The guy who always lies and
not you don't Robin
Hood. Oh, the guy with the sheep?
Little Red Riding Hood.
Oh, the boy who cried wolf.
Yes.
It's like my son, the boy who cried poo.
Yeah.
But he doesn't need a poo.
The boy who cried wolf. If it's a bit like Boy Who Cried Wolf in some regards where I'm like, you guys didn't prioritize it now. Like you're thinking this way now. Why should we trust you now to make all of these decisions around innovation? I think that so many companies are just catching up. They're not on the they're not doing the innovative thing. They're in a corner. The fact that they're doing it now. The fact that podcasting is like we're excited about podcasting now. Like I don't celebrate that. I don't see that as a celebration because I just see that like. I see podcasting in 2004 and then I see what certain networks are talking about with podcasting now and talking as if they're the figureheads of it or that they're fucking some heroes for getting onto this thing.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, you have entered the arena. How many years is that? 14 years after this thing and you've been putting your radio shows on say for 10 years or whatever it is and now it's become that like I don't think we should be celebrating that. I think that radio networks were so slow off the ground and I hope that independent creators can see the benefits of podcasting.
Radio had a very unfair advantage in podcasting that they, as you said, did not take.
Yeah.
There's apart from Hamish and Annie who are podcast only now.
Yeah.
There's no radio shows in the top 100 podcasts. Mm. Very rarely.
Yeah.
And like you said, a huge head start. All they needed to do was chuck it on and market it.
And so that's why I just find like I struggle with that, which is like not eye rolling every time, because it's like, I also think that
this kid reckons podcasting will be big. Oh, here we go.
Yeah, it's just like the competitive advantage is just like reduced to a point where it's like, I don't see what radio stations, what advantage they have. They talk about content and all that sort of thing, but it's like the talent pipeline now, you don't have to like you can pick yourself and be doing that and be making the thing that you want to do rather than waiting to be picked by one of these networks.
Yeah, well, that's what you guys heard of.
All right, mate.
Girls from Shameless, the podcast.
Yes.
So they were pitching to Mamma Mia and they were pitching to other people and they just picked themselves and said, oh, well, actually, we don't need to wait for you to say yes, we're just going to do it. And it's like, this seems like the simplest thing ever.
And a massive fuck you to Mamma Mia. Like for them, like Shameless being like, look, like we... Because Shameless, like Michelle and Zara were pitching it and they were saying, we want to be on like the talent. We want to be on the show, want to do the show. And they were basically told, maybe you'll get the show, but you'll never be the ones hosting it. We'll have people on it. And they've just gone, done it.
They picked themselves.
And now it's like, I love when they do screen grabs of how their podcast is going in the charts. And you see where their old bosses are sitting on the charts. And you see where they're doing, and
they're above it. Yeah. They don't work for Mamma Mia anymore.
And I mean, you guys picked. Well, they both quit. They both worked for them.
Yeah.
Pitched it to them, and then they said, "Okay, we'll leave and do it on our own."
Yeah.
And you guys obviously picked yourselves the number one podcast on Easy Street Collingwood.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Outside of Scooter Derry,
outside of the big ones, obviously.
Depends who you ask.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is. How do you reconcile the picking yourself thing within an industry that is all about being picked?
Well, it's sort of similar to the ideas before in that I'm not going to wait for someone else to pick the ideas. I'm going to pick them, and it's just a matter of where it ends up, but it's still going to get picked. And so I think, it's really easy to blame other people, and I do it all the time and go, it's fucked and this is fucked. And it's like, get over yourself, man. If you want to see your idea, then you just make it and don't complain.
It's empowering.
It is. It's also terrifying.
Yeah.
And for me, it's forced me to learn some skills or pay for some outside skills, which is always a risk. But again, if you're doing it, you're doing it.
I feel like I was way less of a cockhead and arrogant like maybe 7 years ago when I thought these things. But I think that now that I've seen, I feel like I've lived it now enough to be able to be like all these things. Like when big companies are thinking certain ways and doing certain things, you're like, they must know something that I don't know. And I feel like the longer you're in it, you're actually like, oh no, I've actually got no clue what they're doing. They've just got a bigger ship.
Well, I think when you're yourself, you're like growing and innovating something, whereas the bigger ships are protecting what they've got.
Yeah.
Protecting what you've got versus growing for the future are polar opposites.
Yeah.
And the big companies are protecting what they've got.
It's across anything. If you've got a big family, lots of kids, just quitting your job and doing something that could reap a reward or could fucking ruin your family. It's the same thing. I think picking yourself across so many things is relevant.
Although, what about in a company level when, say, if a company's underperforming, but you go, oh, we're underperforming, but we've still got those couple of customers, so we just got to protect those couple of ones we got, or do you pivot and get another 10 big ones slightly somewhere else?
Yeah.
There's a massive chance that they'll have zero revenue if they do that.
Yeah.
And so it depends if there's other people relying on them. It's so layered. If you've got staff and they're relying on you.
So maybe that's easier when you're leaner. Much easier.
And part of it too is like we don't have all the answers yet. We're not making any money off our podcast. There's most people...
Just say number one. That's what radio says too. Number one, we're killing it, guys. Huge 2018.
The thing, and I think that's the thing. It's like we can do... Like we're doing other media stuff that, you know, pays us. And that's what we think is the current... Where this current space sits. I think that the... there's a lot of people who challenge us based on, but how are you making money for all this sort of thing? And I look at how the big networks are doing all this stuff and I don't see the connection between making heaps of cash and the 80% or 90% of the content that they're creating on their podcast networks, how they'll actually shift that.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it just becomes this game of like we have a combined total reach of 10 million people and they can say that and they sell to advertisers on that and the big business does well.
Yeah.
But then is that good for the small creator that is the – bottom 20-30%.
Yeah, it's tricky. Well, there's a lot of podcasters getting huge download numbers and not making anything.
Mm. Feel like there's an opportunity there for them to do other stuff, to look at, to be entrepreneur. I think that podcasting suits the entrepreneur. And we're not monetizing yet because we're, I think, still trying to understand this landscape and saying, like, well, we have a bunch more years before we should be, like, what other industry, what radio personality does something for a year and expects to be
the best,
number one metro?
Well, it's weird. I think there's the assumption that you have to make your podcast revenue by putting ads in your podcast. Yeah. Where for my podcast, we did an episode where Bridget was talking about her thoughts on wanting to be a mum, and she gets like jealous. Like, she used to be excited when other girls got pregnant, like excited for them, and now she's still excited, but she gets a bit jealous and like, oh, you know, it's kind of like rubbing it in.
Mm.
So that was a podcast episode that blew up, and then news.com's like, oh, can Bridget just put what she said in words and we'll pay you X amount to run the article.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so is that podcast revenue? Pretty much.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And then I did a podcast on a certain topic and someone's like, oh, we heard you do that on the road thing on the podcast. Can you do a video of that and we'll pay this much?
Mm-hmm.
And is that podcast revenue? Like, probably.
Yeah.
Like, it's all part of the big package. Then,
yeah. I think the people can't wrap their head around it because it's confusing because it's so new. The freemium model on YouTube.
Mm.
That people who watch your free content just donate to you and give you money,
mm.
but they're not actually paying for anything that they can't get for free. Some, yeah. yes, there's other ones yeah. that you get little extra bits, but if you didn't pay, you actually have access to all this stuff. And so that's a hard one for people to get their head around,
mm.
which it hasn't even really – it's now shifting. There's a problem at the moment of someone on one of those platforms, Patreon, being – their $12,000 a month account just got ripped down by the platform because off the platform on another person's podcast they said something that was deemed to break their T's and C's. Really? And they've now gone. It's super complex, but it's a very new conversation in a field that is very new. So it's like the first of its kind.
And what happens, I wonder, you talk about the legal risk associated with doing your radio show.
Yeah.
Are they having the same legal concerns across their, you know, 200 podcasts?
Well, it's funny because often we can't do something on the radio show because legal didn't say so. And I'm like, well, if I did it on my own, I don't have a legal team, so they can't say no.
Yeah. And so that's the thing is like they can't have that the onus ends up on the content creator at that point, right? Which, like, I think when we put something out there, we are standing by it and we're taking
the risk. Are we standing by everything that's been on this
Absolutely.
Episode?
Absolutely.
One thing from me.
That you would like to take back?
Nah, but I won't. I don't do it on the show. I just take it back after and then I deal with it.
Oh, so you'll say it to me later?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, that's right.
Like, I shouldn't have mentioned that Amy was annoyed at the airport that one time.
Oh, no, that's fine. Yeah. That's totally fine. Because I said that she can start a podcast that just basically is about my bad traits. And I'm okay with that.
That'd be a long one.
Yeah.
It's a daily talk show, everyone.
It's successful. We've given away a ham.
Yeah.
Is radio out of 10, what kind of, how, from a radio guy, how radio was that?
Not very, because we haven't had any Harvey Norman ads in 1 hour and 21 minutes, so yeah, zero true. Out of 10.
We can always do one.
No
pay, no say, that's what we'll say.
Yeah.
It's a daily talk show. If you've listened this far, maybe you don't think we're that shit. So given it's December, I'm going to ask for reviews.
Yeah,
people can leave. We never do this, but on the podcast app, the Purple app, iTunes, you can just leave us a review. Yep.
And also follow me on Instagram.
Yeah, true. True, because he's doubling down on Facebook and Insta.
Well, now that they can't follow me, but they should go to the Daily Talk Show's Insta anyway and see the ham video.
Yeah.
And they'll see Ryan up there. All right, have a good one, guys. Have a good weekend. Bye.